It's Saturday, February 28th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Today, we're going to talk about the drug that started as a diabetes treatment, became a TikTok phenomenon, turned a Danish pharmaceutical company into the most valuable business in Europe, and is now at the center of a legal brawl that involves the FDA, the Department of Justice, and a telehealth company that tried to sell a $49 knockoff and got shut down in less than 24 hours. If you've heard the word Ozempic but couldn't explain what it actually does to your body or why your insurance still won't cover it, this one's for you. Let's start with what GLP-1 actually is, because almost nobody knows this, and it's the kind of thing that makes the whole story click. Your gut already makes a hormone called GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide 1. Every time you eat, your intestines release it, and it does two things. It tells your pancreas to produce insulin, and it tells your brain, hey, you're full, stop eating. The problem is, your body breaks it down in about 2 minutes. So the signal is real, but it's brief. What drugs like Ozempic do is mimic that hormone, except they're engineered to last for days instead of minutes. Think of it like this. Your body is already sending a text that says, I'm full. These drugs just turn that text into a phone call that doesn't hang up. The wild part is how long it took us to figure this out. In 1906, researchers in Liverpool found something in the gut that could lower blood sugar. Exciting, right? Except then, insulin was discovered a few years later, and everyone forgot about the gut thing for the better part of a century. It wasn't until 1986, 80 years later, that a peptide chemist named Svetlana Motsov identified the actual active form of the hormone. And even then, nobody was thinking about weight loss. The entire research effort was aimed at diabetes. In 2005, the first GLP-1 drug hit the market, Byetta, a twice-daily injection for type 2 diabetes. It worked fine. Nobody outside endocrinology cared. Then came semaglutide. Novo Nordisk, the Danish company, spent years engineering a version that lasted a full week instead of a few hours. They launched it as Ozempic in 2017, and it was genuinely effective for blood sugar control. But there was a side effect the researchers hadn't fully anticipated. Patients kept losing significant amounts of weight. Not a little. We're talking about 10-15% of their body weight. For a field that had spent decades trying everything from amphetamines to stomach stapling, those numbers were staggering. So Novo Nordisk repackaged the same molecule at a higher dose, called it Wegovy, and got FDA approval for obesity in 2021. What happened next was something no pharma company could have planned or bought. Starting in mid-2022, celebrities and influencers began posting their weight loss journeys on TikTok and Instagram. Novo Nordisk didn't spend a dollar on it. Views for videos tagged with Ozempic went from 2 million in 2021 to 1.2 billion in 2023. In 2021, Ozempic wasn't even in the top 20 best-selling drugs worldwide. By 2023, it was number 3. Novo Nordisk became the most valuable company in Europe, worth more than the entire GDP of Denmark, the country where it's headquartered. Its tax bill alone became Denmark's single largest source of corporate revenue. 2026 is when the two biggest barriers, needles and price, started falling at the same time. For years, the biggest barriers to GLP-1 drugs were needles and price. A lot of people just don't want a weekly injection, and the list price was hovering around $1,000 a month. Both of those barriers are falling fast. In late 2025, the FDA approved an oral version of Wegovy. Same active ingredient, same effectiveness, no needle. It launched in January of this year at $149 a month for the starting dose. And starting in July, Medicare will cover GLP-1 drugs at $50 a month, through a new federal program. That's a massive shift. We're going from a drug that was functionally only accessible to people with great insurance or deep pockets to something that could be within reach of millions of Americans on fixed incomes. Meanwhile, Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk's biggest rival, has a next-generation drug in late-stage trials called retatrutide that targets not two but three hormones simultaneously. In trials, patients on the highest dose lost nearly 29% of their body weight. To put that in perspective, the average outcome of gastric bypass surgery is about 30%. were approaching surgical results from a weekly injection. That was unthinkable 5 years ago. So that's the science and the scale. But the part nobody at the dinner party is talking about yet is the legal chaos, because the economics of these drugs created a gray market that just blew up in spectacular fashion. When these drugs got popular, demand crushed supply. There weren't enough injections to go around. And under US law, when a drug is in shortage, compounding pharmacies, smaller operations that mix medications to order, can make their own versions. So companies like Hims and Roe started selling compounded semaglutide through telehealth apps at a fraction of the price. Gray market for the hottest drug in the country. Then the shortage ended, and legally, those pharmacies weren't supposed to be making copies anymore. But the money was good, and the legal line between compounding and manufacturing is blurry. So on February 5th of this year, Hims announced a compounded oral semaglutide pill, $49 a month. Novo Nordisk called it an unapproved, inauthentic, untested knockoff. Less than 24 hours later, the FDA announced it was cracking down on mass-marketed compounded GLP-1 drugs. The day after that, Hims pulled the product, and then the Department of Health and Human Services referred Hims to the Department of Justice for investigation. 3 days. Launched to DOJ referral in 3 days. It was like watching someone try to sell homemade iPhones out of a garage and getting a cease and desist from Apple before lunch. The Hims saga is entertaining, but it's a symptom of something bigger. These drugs work. For weight loss and cardiovascular risk, the evidence is strong. Large trials, consistent results, FDA approvals. For heart failure and sleep apnea, the data is promising, but newer. And then there's the really early stuff. Researchers have found GLP-1 receptors in the brain's reward circuits, and there are small studies suggesting these drugs might reduce alcohol cravings and addictive behavior. That's intriguing, not proven. One Harvard cardiologist recently described the drug class as potentially fundamental to preventing chronic illness. But that's a forward-looking bet, not settled science. What is settled is that they work and they're expensive. Insurance coverage for weight loss is still wildly inconsistent, and about half of people who start a GLP-1 drug stop within a year, mostly because of cost. And when you stop, the weight comes back. Nearly all of it. It's also worth noting that trial results and real-world results aren't the same thing. In clinical trials, patients have regular check-ins, dietitians, and structured support. In real life, people get a prescription from a telehealth app and figure it out on their own. The average weight loss in practice is likely lower than the headlines suggest. So we have what might be the most important class of drugs in a generation. And the biggest obstacle isn't science. It's economics. There's a second-order question here that almost nobody's talking about yet, and it's the real higher IQ take. Nearly a quarter of American households have now tried a GLP-1 drug. When that many people reduce their caloric intake by 20 to 30%, it doesn't just show up on bathroom scales, it reshapes entire industries. Food companies are already reformulating products. PepsiCo is investing in protein drinks and functional beverages. Grocery chains are reporting shifts in purchasing patterns. Restaurants are watching portion economics change. Even the fitness industry is pivoting because GLP-1 users lose muscle along with fat. Sometimes 30 to 40% of the weight lost is lean mass, which means the gym pitch is shifting from burn calories to preserve the muscle you have. And then there's Ozempic face, the gaunt, hollowed look that comes with rapid facial fat loss, which has become a boom for plastic surgeons and dermatologists. A drug that was designed to help your pancreas is now reshaping what PepsiCo puts in a bottle, what your gym trainer tells you to prioritize, and what a plastic surgeon sees in the consultation room. We're still early in this story. The long-term safety data is thin. The first GLP-1 drug for obesity was only approved in 2014, and semaglutide specifically in 2021. There are open questions about thyroid cancer risk, pancreatitis, and what happens to your metabolism after years of suppressing a fundamental hunger signal. The FDA is still evaluating reports of hair loss and suicidal ideation. And the access gap is real. White patients are roughly 4 times more likely to get a semaglutide prescription than black patients, despite having lowering rates of both diabetes and obesity. If this is going to be the defining drug class of our generation, those are problems that can't just be side effects we learn to live with. 120 years ago, scientists found a clue in the gut and then forgot about it. 80 years later, someone found it again. 30 years after that, it accidentally became the most important weight loss drug ever made. And now, right now, we're in the part of the story where we find out whether a breakthrough that took a century to arrive can actually reach the people who need it most. That's the question that hasn't been answered yet. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.